Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Fires off the three at the horn, and he drills it. A buzzer-beating three-pointer from Gary Trent Jr.
Bucks Talk starts now.
Lillard launching from nearly midcourt. Logo Lillard strikes again.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
135 to 127, the final today. The Bucks take down the 76ers in overall a pretty strong game here for the Bucks team. I think the only minor complaints that you would have would be the final 3 to 4 minutes of the game and the inability to get a couple of extra minutes of rest for guys like Damian Lillard and Brooke Lopez and everybody else that was on the floor. Dame especially tonight, is he played 44 minutes basically in this game. But Damian Lillard was terrific for the Bucks. He basically started everything. He played downhill all night. Very efficient from the field. Scored a season-high 43 points. He out-dueled Tyrese Maxey. But everything that he opened up for his teammates as well was one of the bigger stories of this game in an impressive win for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. What were your expectations coming into this game?
That's a great question, because I didn't really have any. Is that fair to say? It was an odd game Friday against the Atlanta Hawks. We saw them kind of go up and down, Justin, in that second quarter. Two different versions of the team that day, that night. And then, I don't know, 2-3 hours before the game. Now, Giannis is ruled out Saturday night. Saturday. But then Shams with the updated tweet that it's going to be a couple weeks, possibly, at least into the All-Star break. So I wasn't entirely sure what to expect going into this one. And that's why the game ball for me today goes out to Damian Lillard, because I think when you lose a guy like Giannis, you're going to look at other players on this team, especially, obviously, Damian Lillard, who's the second star of this team, and kind of look for him to carry the load for the Bucks tonight. And that's exactly what he did tonight. 43 points for this team while adding 8 rebounds as well as 8 assists. I thought he was fantastic. You mentioned it, the load that he played tonight with the 44 minutes. But the 43 points, and he was aggressive. He was driving the basketball. He was finding open guys. Gary Trent Jr., the second game ball, the second leading scorer for the Bucks as well tonight. 23.7 made three-pointers for this Bucks team. And on the defensive side for Gary Trent Jr., 3 steals today. So to answer your question, to wrap up your question, I didn't expect this. I expected kind of an up-and-down game, but they thoroughly pulled away in that second half, Justin, where you and I had talked about on Friday night. It's kind of been a little bit of the Achilles heel for this team has been that second half. They were much, much better, because I think they went into half up only 2. I know the score was 135-127, but at one point they were up by more than 20 points. So I did not expect much of anything today, and then the news with Giannis kind of, you know, hampered any expectations I would had. But I was impressed. It was a good win. Any win in this stretch right now, Justin, is vital for this team, and today was a test to that.
It was a dangerous spot to be in, because we knew Giannis was ruled out. We heard from Doc Rivers. I want to get to some of his comments that he made before the game in just a moment as well. But it's a Sixers team that this is a rarity. They had their 3 guys available today. I think this is the 9th game this season that's been the case. And they've now lost each of the last 2. Friday night in Detroit against the Pistons, as much as we talked about, not disaster, but that was a rough loss for the Bucks against the Hawks on Friday, it was even worse for Philly, where they had their guys. The Pistons did not have Cade Cunningham. They trailed by more than 20 for large portions of the game and ultimately lost. That you kind of got the sense this is going to be a different version of Philly that you get coming off of that. The fact that they're healthier than you are, I didn't know what to expect in this game today, but I was pleasantly surprised. And I think the big stories to come from it, obviously Damian Lillard and the performance we talked about, Gary Trent Jr. and how he just continues to excel in the role that he has as one of the bench leaders and the guy that comes in that gives you play on both ends of the floor. His defense on Tyrese Maxey, we talked about it all the way back on opening night. Dave and I were talking about it on the game broadcast too, and it was after that first quarter when Tyrese Maxey, and I do want to talk about Andre Jackson Jr. a little bit, but Tyrese Maxey was just able to get what he wanted and said, I think Gary Trent Jr. is the guy you're going to have to go to. They did that in midway through the second-ish quarter, early third, and he was nowhere near as efficient from that point forward. So he was terrific, but the other piece we do have to talk about is Kyle Kuzma and what he has brought to this team, albeit in a very small sample size, but some of the things we're starting to see from Kyle Kuzma. So a lot of things to get into here in a very shortened show as we lead you into a big event.
That's why everybody's tuned in right now, Justin.
Later on today. 135-127 the final score. So the impact that Gary Trent Jr. had defensively and what we've seen so far from Kyle Kuzma in a Bucks uniform. We'll get into those conversations coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Another offensive rebound for Portis. That's two big rebounds to the corner. Now to Lillard. This time he drills it. Deep corner right. Damian Lillard falling out of bounds on a pair of big offensive rebounds.
19 offensive rebounds today for the Bucks, and you did that without Giannis. One of the things we heard from Doc Rivers after the game, you know, jokingly asked too, so you guys just an offensive rebounding team now? And in fairness, what I think six came on that one sequence alone. But he did mention, you know, yes and no. Like, I'm not going to say, hey, the Bucks are an offensive rebounding team now, but we may not be 30th anymore because Giannis and Kyle Kuzma, that they both have great length. And as Doc said, they're both athletes, and they're both quick, and they're both athletic enough that we can have them crash the offensive glass and still get back on the defensive side of the floor and be a factor there. And, you know, it's been two games. I thought we talked about it Friday night. Kyle Kuzma was largely just trying to fit in Friday night with the game against the Atlanta Hawks, and at times you even wish, like, I almost wish he would just chuck some shots here and we could see more offense from Kuz. But today, you start to see a little bit more of that, but just overall, the package, and maybe it's helpful, too, to see it in person, of what Kyle Kuzma can bring to this team. And you can see the vision of why this move was made, the athleticism. There were a couple of times when Kyle Kuzma was leading a fast break or he was the first one down the floor. His rebounding ability, but defensively too. I mean, the Bucks were able to say, you pick up Joel Embiid after half court, and then once we get into our drop defense, Brook can pick him up and you can rotate over. Other times when he helped, he blocked a shot. This is, you know, in no way a shot at Chris Middleton, but those are not things you could have gotten from Chris Middleton.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And 9 points in the first quarter for Kuz today, which I thought you kind of mentioned it. I was kind of in the same, you know, Brett, when you don't have Giannis, where's the scoring going to come from? Obviously, Damian Lillard provided that. Gary Trent Jr. provided that. I think going forward, that's something we can expect, hopefully, from Kyle Kuzma as these next few games before the All-Star break, the Bucks with Golden State tomorrow as well. So they're going to get right back to it. But 13 points, 8 rebounds, and it's the assists, too, that kind of stick out for me with Kyle Kuzma. That a little bit of an underrated part of his game, 5 assists, I thought was fantastic. And Justin, everything just, I believe everything happens for a reason. Where would the Bucks be without that trade? Now, I was sad about Chris Middleton leaving Milwaukee, but where would they be if they wake up to the news tonight, or they probably knew yesterday, maybe before that, that Giannis is going to be out and you don't have Kyle Kuzma? I mean, that trade, it's, again, you know, we don't know what would happen, you know, what the roster would have looked like if they don't make that move or if they make a different move. But not being able to have Giannis, again, gives a little bit of flexibility offensively and defensively with a guy like Kyle Kuzma when you don't have Giannis now for at least the next few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, the passing parts is the interesting part to me, because I do want to – we need a larger sample size than two games.
Sure.
Yep. But some of the passes that he made tonight and some of the instinctual plays that he made in keeping the offense moving, I did not anticipate to see from Kyle Kuzma. And it's not as though I watched every single game of Kuz's with the Washington Wizards, but this is not what I imagined for Kyle Kuzma as a member of this Bucks team. So if that is reality, that's the way that he can move the ball and the basketball IQ – that's a huge boost for this team with the athleticism, the fit that he has. I mean, there was one sequence where Gary Trent Jr. caused a fast break for the Bucks, and I think he was almost surprised that somebody else was down the floor because he just got the loose ball and said, I'm going down the floor, and Kyle Kuzma's down there, and he didn't realize it until the last second. So once you do get Giannis back on the floor and the ability to see Kyle Kuzma playing next to Giannis and that two running fast break together is one of the things, the bigger things that I'm looking forward to in this second half schedule for the Bucks.
Yeah, a lot of love in the YouTube chat here, if we don't mind going for a few comments here, for Bobby Portis tonight. Again, another solid performance from him. I liked the adjustment that the Bucks made in the second half against Joel Embiid. Now, I believe he finished the game with 27 points. I feel like he had 15 in the first 5 minutes. So the Bucks defensively switching things up. You saw a little bit of BP on him. Brook Lopez, I think, did better in the second half. You kind of mentioned Gary Trent Jr. and what he brought defensively today. I really thought the Bucks did a really good job in that second half against Joel Embiid, and they kind of threw a bunch of different looks at him. And so that was encouraging. And Bobby Portis, again, man, I know he, again, he's a guy that Bucks fans love to toss around in trade ideas, but 30 minutes tonight, 18 points, 13 rebounds. He's a workhorse, man. Friday night, he led the team in scoring, had 26 and 15. He just continues night in to night out to show up when this team needs him. And again, where there's no Giannis, you got to look for scoring, especially off the bench. You got that. Obviously, we mentioned Gary Trent Jr., but Bobby Portis as well, 18 points tonight. Just continues to be such a vital piece to this Milwaukee Bucks team, and it's what he does on both ends too. He's not going to win a Defensive Player of the Year award, but he's going to rack up rebounds. You don't wake up and get 15 rebounds and 13 rebounds. And hey, he had a 32-foot three-pointer tonight too. So maybe we're adding that to the repertoire.
He had a Lillard-esque three, and the reality is too. You know, we talked about in theory what Kyle Kuzma can bring to this team. We talked about what we've seen in two games with him. You're still missing something with Chris Middleton's absence on the offensive end and the way that he can initiate offense. Now, again, we saw some nice components of that from Kyle Kuzma today, but I want to see if that's the reality and that can continue to be a trend. But it just means to me that it increases the importance for Bobby Portis to be that consistent scorer type off the bench for this team to keep the scoreboard moving. And Kyle Kuzma is the guy you can fit in there defensively when you want to go to smaller lineups. And, you know, Doc has talked, too, about our smaller lineups just hasn't worked this year. And the lineups with Brook at center and a smaller unit versus Giannis at center and a smaller unit has actually been more successful. So maybe it's just we haven't had the right fit. Maybe it's something I'm doing wrong. Maybe it's something we got to look into. But we can get even more extended looks with Kyle Kuzma. And that's another thing to keep an eye on. But, yeah, the offense of Bobby Portis is going to be extremely important for this team with the absence of Chris Middleton going forward. Talked about Gary Trent Jr. and what he brought offensively with the season-high 23 points. He had 7 three-pointers in this game, but his defense, he gave the Bucks some of the bigger moments in this game defensively, and it really opens up a larger question, too, about this group. And we saw the tinkering done today with no Giannis. You wondered, okay, you're starting Bobby Portis again, and it's Kyle Kuzma that goes into the starting lineup. So, as Doc Rivers said before the Hawks game, look, everything is open here. We got to see these guys play together. We got to see what works. So, we're looking through everything. Does that potentially include a change to the backcourt in the starting lineup? We'll take a look at that coming up after this.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Inbound pass over the shoulder of Portis. He will get it with 3 to shoot. He's going to have to hoist up a long bomb, but he hits it anyway. Bobby Portis from straight away. He's doing the Michael Jordan shrug going the other way as he knocks a 37-foot three-point shot down.
Bobby Portis, that's a shot that we referenced before, the Damian Lillard-esque three-pointer that he drilled, a solid game from BP. He and Brook Lopez combined for 13 offensive rebounds in this game where the Bucks had a season high 19 and scored, I believe, 31 second chance points here. So Bobby with 18 points and 13 rebounds. Gary Trent Jr. especially strong once again tonight, 23 points today, 23 points, 7 three-pointers. We talked about the defense that he played on Tyrese Maxey, and we kind of called for it on the broadcast too. It feels like Gary Trent is the guy you're going to have to put on Maxey in this game. And all the positives that Andre Jackson Jr. has brought to this group and his energy and his defense, he is getting better at figuring out the dunker spot and just how to play around the rim and keep the ball moving offensively. I still think he struggles, which is kind of the ironic spot of the position he's playing. He struggles more often than not with the quicker guards. Like, he can handle physicality and additional size, but it's the quicker guys that can beat you off the dribble that just seem to give him the most trouble. 16 minutes tonight, I mean, by no means is that, wow, he's really, the reins were pulled back. That's kind of the norm of what we've seen from him. But especially when you add in a piece like Kyle Kuzma, and Doc said from the start, you don't make this move to not start him. So he's going to be your starting three. I'm not saying it takes away the need for Andre Jackson, but it at least diminishes it to know you have help there behind him with Giannis when healthy and Kyle Kuzma as well. That I just wonder if as we get out of the All-Star break and a couple of games into play where you've been able to get more looks at how the group fits together, is it a guy like A.J. Green that just gets put into the starting lineup because he's able to keep the scoreboard moving and space the floor with his shooting? His defense is solid. You know, it's more than adequate. And that's still the issue they run up against with Andre Jackson Jr. There were a couple of times today, too, when, you know, he was doing a good job of just making himself available for passes and getting into the painted area, catching it, keeping it moving. But you could see Doc kind of call him over and give him more coaching on the fly, too, of like, we need you to finish there. We need you to do something else here. So the more this goes on, and if we start to see those returns from Kyle Kuzma and the defense, okay, we feel like it's solid on the perimeter. I wonder, given the minutes that we consistently see from Andre, if we do see some type of a change. And before you give your thoughts, I don't think that should be Gary Trent, as good as he's looking.
That's what I was just going to ask you, yeah.
I think he's excelling in this role.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a perfect fit as one of the guys that comes in off the bench. You can play him heavier minutes if you need to. That if you do make a change, I still think it's A.J. Green.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm necessarily there yet. And that's been, people flooding the text message, the Site Unlimited hotline, as well as the YouTube chat, is wondering if you take Gary Trent Jr. and put him into the starting lineup based off of especially these last few games. I'm just not there yet with taking Ajax out of that starting lineup. Now, he's got to be a more aggressive offensive player, Ajax, that is. For me, you got to have some kind of threat offensively. I know. It's not in his game per se. Doc Rivers called him a connector when he first inserted him into that starting lineup. But he had a clear path to the basket on Friday. He decided to toss it away. I mean, those are kind of the things that he's got to do more, consistently to kind of give teams we gotta stay on this guy. But the Bucks really, Justin, I feel like their season kind of turned around when he was inserted into that starting lineup. And I know you got to go all the way back to November, and I know what you mentioned, A.J. Green kind of moves the scoreboard. You're not losing a whole lot.
And I would say, yes, it did. But, and again, I think he was a part of that. A lot of things started to swing.
Sure.
They were hitting shots. Yeah. And Gary Trent Jr. started to hit shots. A.J. Green as well. So I think there was a number of things that were happening. And the biggest challenge with Andre, too, is just that it remains to be seen where he can find his water level as a three-point shooter. Corner threes, we've seen him take those regularly, even those above-the-break threes, that he's not afraid to take them. We see stretches where he's okay, like 35-ish percent that he'll knock those down. Those are much different shots in the playoffs, that you're not going to get open looks there, or it's going to be teams that are saying, yeah, we'll let you take the open look, and we're just shifting our attention. We're playing 5-on-4 here because we don't trust you to make those. That's the big issue, is there's dare shots all the time. When he's on the floor in the playoffs, there's going to be a ton of dare shots for the Bucks. We're putting two bodies on Giannis, or we're putting two bodies on Dame. This guy can take all the shots he wants to. We don't think he's going to make enough of them. And where he's strongest offensively is where Giannis eats, and you have that spacing issue. So that's ultimately going to continue to be the biggest challenge. And I know Giannis didn't play today, but I mean, that's why we consistently see the minutes are 14, 15, 16 minutes a game.
Yeah, and I think when you look at Ajax, and you and I think when he was inserted into that starting lineup, we had talked about, man, this guy's just got to stay out of foul trouble. Like, he gets into it way too quickly. And I feel like, I guess I got to go back and look over the last stretch of these games, but it feels like AJ Green kind of falls into that a little bit, where he gets kind of caught up at the wrong time, wrong place, foul trouble. I just feel like with that bench, when you got Gary Trent Jr., Bobby Portis, and now AJ Green, that those three coming off the bench, when you send off Chris Middleton, who was coming off the bench, you got to keep that scoring in that second unit. And I think that's the way to do that is obviously keep Ajax into the starting lineup. I'm not saying that's what needs to happen, but I feel like I would rather have a more consistent scoring coming off of the bench as opposed to trying to insert, you know, other guys into the starting lineup, Gary Trent Jr. or AJ Green, to kind of facilitate the scoring and spread out the floor. I think what Ajax does defensively, and he doesn't care about scoring. He doesn't care about, maybe he should a little bit more, but he doesn't. I just feel like, you know, he's going to lock up, or at least attempt to lock up, you know, the best offensive player for the opposing team. We've seen him, you know, do it in the NBA tournament when he did that against SGA. I just think he's very valuable. And then I would ask you this question, Justin, if you don't start him, is there a role for him off the bench? Because really we only see him at the start of the game and at the start of the third quarter.
It's going to be tough. But again, like, it's going to be very tough in the playoffs to keep him on the floor. And I think that's the biggest thing you have to keep in mind, is it's going to be a challenge because of that offense out there. And, you know, again, the other challenge is with Kyle Kuzma's addition, and, you know, again, we've only seen two games. But if what we've seen in these two games is mostly what you can expect from Kyle Kuzma, it changes your perimeter defense to the point of you need more on-the-ball defenders in that spot against Damian Lillard, somebody that can then take on the other guard. And I just think we've seen enough in these 2 years that that's actually the type of player that Andre struggles with the most. He can defend small forwards. He can even, you know, depending on the guy, can go up to fours and handle physicality and more size and length, but it's the quicker guys that can beat you with their first step where he gets in trouble, not necessarily getting blown by or beaten, but that's where things like fouls and instincts come into play. So that's the other piece that it's going to be something to keep an eye on in the second half schedule, is how does the defense fit together, and is the need for Andre Jackson at that spot, does that start to shift at all, where you'll explore making some changes to this lineup potentially as you get set for the playoffs here? But as we mentioned, in these two games we've seen Kyle Kuzma, we have not seen Giannis. We heard a little bit of clarity on that from Doc Rivers before the game, so I do want to get to what he had to say. And also there's two other names, new names for the Bucks that we've yet to see. But you get the feeling that may change tomorrow. We'll get into that conversation after this.
This is Bucks Talk.
Well, the Bucks are going to start with the basketball going left to right here. It's Lillard launching from nearly midcourt. Logo Lillard strikes again. That's a 37-foot three-pointer from Damian Lillard.
Bucks take down the 76ers today inside of Fiserv Forum. Big game from Damian Lillard, 43 points, a season high. 24 made threes, a season high for the team. Gary Trent Jr. had 7 of those. That's a season high. So was his 23 points. So were the Bucks' 19 offensive rebounds. So overall, a really nice day in terms of the stat sheet. It started not so nice when Doc Rivers was addressing the media before the game, and we mentioned earlier, Giannis was ruled out of this game last night. And so Doc was asked about that, of, hey, he's out today. Is that more a precautionary thing? Is there something more serious to it? And as I think most coaches would tell you, yeah, it's more precautionary. We're just being extra cautious because those types of things with the calf issue, they can tend to linger. But then added, I'm guessing he'll be out the rest of the week as we go into the All-Star break. And somebody moments later asked him, too, is he going to play in the All-Star game? And Doc said, well, that'd be a pretty bad look, wouldn't it? So that's where it was left at, and you referenced Shams Charania talking during the game too, mentioning Giannis is expected to be out for a little bit of time here through the All-Star break. So it's going to be 2-3 weeks of Giannis off the floor. You got new pieces to work into the mix as well. But I know Doc was asked about this a couple of times too, and said he really wanted to play in Charlotte. I guess it's a good thing he didn't go out there and play, because, you know, look, now we're shutting him down, I guess is the way to put it. That's always one of the things to keep an eye on too, is when guys are a late scratch, not that it's always like a bad and this is going to be a prolonged absence, but when you're a late scratch, it typically means something else happened between then and the time to make the decision. Like, a lot of times it can be, I feel like I'm close, I tested it, and yeah, I'm just not there. But a lot of times it's, yeah, it's still not where it needs to be, or something else happened. So we saw the late scratch against Charlotte, and now it's going to be a couple of weeks before we see him at a spot where you're working in these new pieces. So it's not to the level of, should we be worried about this? Because Doc himself even said, we're doing everything we can to make sure he's healthy for the playoffs. We did that last year, too. And he wasn't on the floor for the postseason. And, you know, it's a fine line that we're walking. But, you know, he doesn't want to miss these games. He'd be the first one to tell you that. And we just feel this is the best route for the rest of the way forward here with this team.
Yeah, and I'm fine with that, sitting him, especially these last few games, 28 and 23. You know, you get a big win today, so that helps going into Golden State tomorrow and then Minnesota before the All-Star break, Justin. But I've said it before, I'll keep saying it, I know this is a frustrating year. It's been an up-and-down year. It hasn't looked pretty, and quite honestly, it's been rough the last few weeks. I still firmly believe in this team, and I know that maybe I'm out on an island on my own, but I feel like they can go up against any one of these teams in the Eastern Conference, and I know they haven't beaten a top three seed right now as it stands, Boston, Cleveland, or New York this year. But the biggest hurdle for this Bucks team, and we've seen this, like, now this is what, year three, where they just haven't been, we're in the playoffs, aren't here yet, but the last few years we haven't seen them get into the postseason healthy. I would rather this, really, again, we mentioned it, I think I said it Friday before we knew Giannis was going to be out. Look, man, this All-Star break is kind of coming at the right time. The Bucks have been on the road a lot. You know, they haven't been home a ton. You know, the snowstorm in New Orleans, just it kind of threw, the whole last 2 weeks have been really crazy. And this All-Star break is coming at the right time. This is before we knew that Giannis was going to be out. When they announced he was out Saturday, which is rare for Giannis, I feel like, outside of, you know, serious injuries, because he's always kind of up to game-time decisions. So when I saw that he was out Saturday, I immediately kind of assumed, okay, we'll probably see him after the All-Star break. I'm perfectly fine with this. You get a win. You and I mentioned you got to get at least one of these. We prefer to have two of these next these last few games winning into the All-Star break. But you get a big one today, Justin. I'm okay with sitting him from now until the All-Star break. That gives him a good 2 weeks-ish to kind of get that. And that's a soft tissue injury. Those are always tricky, especially a guy like Giannis and the way that he plays and the physical demanding presence that he brings on opponents and himself at times. I hope this isn't something that lingers going forward. Hopefully this is something that the Bucks, it sounds like, based off of Shams' report and Chris Haynes, Doc's words were a little bit more encouraging for me as a fan when I heard them. Like, I think he said, again, I'm paraphrasing him a little bit here, I think along the lines, like, if this is a playoff game, he probably plays. So that's good news, I think, if you're a Bucks fan and you're looking at this as, like, okay, how serious is this? But, look, sit him for 2 weeks. Sit him until March.
I don't care about missing time now. But that's the thing, is it's no guarantee that you'll be healthy.
It isn't,
for the playoffs. And as far as that point, too, I mean, we should point out, we heard Doc Rivers say the same thing about Giannis last year.
He did. You're right.
To the playoffs, and even the ambiguity over Giannis' status going into that series. I get there's some gamesmanship there, and it's the most coaches will do. The other thing that, when he said he's probably going to miss the rest of this week, we were, okay, fine. It's the All-Star break then, and you get extended time off. So between all the time missed, All-Star break this week, like, talking 3 weeks-ish, basically, of not playing. Cool. But then moments later, you know, you do get, and I mentioned that road trip about a week ago where it was kind of shades of, man, this is starting to feel like last year when you open up a Doc era, going 1-4 on the road, and you had a couple of them that really slipped away. That four-game road trip out west, same way, where you felt like, man, Clippers game, we had a chance to win. Okay, we grabbed back hold of the rope, and you beat the Jazz convincingly, but the way you closed the game where you couldn't get rest, ugly loss, two losses to wrap up the road trip there. That was starting to feel like, all right, let's not go through this again. The one other spot where it felt like that in Doc's press conference was when somebody followed up again moments later and said, okay, so coming out of All-Star break, do you anticipate he's going to be good to go then? Which Thursday the 20th is when the Bucks will play their first game after the All-Star break at home against the Clippers, and said, we're really hoping that when we come out of the break, we'll have our team. There is some caution, though, but we're really hoping yes. And got to tell you, number one, as I've pointed out many times, hope is not a strategy.
No, it's not.
We heard a lot of times with Chris Middleton and other players, yeah, we're hoping. And with Giannis himself, we're hoping we're going to have him for the playoffs when that rolls around. So that's the other thing that just gets planted in the back of your mind to think, all right, so maybe this is going to linger into March. Who knows?
And I'm okay. Like, part of me is okay with that. I never want to say I don't want to. Yeah. I don't want Giannis.
The only real negative, Giannis would be ineligible for any of the individual
Correct.
Awards because he's already getting close
Correct.
To that. I
don't know if I think.
Assuming he's going to miss, we basically know he's going to miss the game tomorrow night and the game against the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
I think he'll just have six games left that he could miss the rest of the way.
This is a great opportunity, though, too, Justin. Like I said, I never want to see a game that Giannis is not healthy enough to play in. But this forces guys to step up. Today we saw that. Gary Trent Jr. We saw it Friday. Bobby Portis kind of again today. You're going to need other guys besides 34 and 0 to step up in the playoffs. It's a great opportunity for some of these guys to kind of elevate their game without 34 in there.
All right, there's two other new pieces of the Bucks we did not see today. We did not see Friday night in Atlanta against the Hawks either. But if we take Doc Rivers at his word, what he said afterwards, we may, in fact, likely see them tomorrow. We'll get into that conversation and wrap things up after this.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
I'm on top of the world. Hey.
Tomorrow night, Bucks back in action. Night two of a back-to-back here at home against the Golden State Warriors, the new-look Warriors, featuring Jimmy Butler III, who made his debut Friday night,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Big one, too.
25 points
mm-hmm.
in the win over the Bulls, a game the Warriors trailed by 25 before coming back to win it. And the Bucks, as we mentioned, were an active team at the deadline as well, or leading up to the deadline. We saw Kyle Kuzma today, but the other pieces they brought in, Jericho Sims and Kevin Porter Jr., who has had some big games against the Bucks throughout his career. We have not seen Sims or Kevin Porter Jr. yet. Jericho Sims was with the team in Atlanta. Kevin Porter Jr. Not officially cleared to join the team until, I believe, yesterday. So he was here today but did not play. And Doc Rivers did tell us before the game, everyone but Giannis and Pat Connaughton are available. But was asked after the game of, hey, it's night two of a back-to-back tomorrow night. I mean, you did a decent job managing the minutes of Brooke Lopez. He only played 24, but we mentioned the Dame minutes. Bobby Portis played 30 minutes. Most of your regulars played heavy minutes here tonight. So could we see the other two guys we haven't had a chance to see yet? And Doc said, yeah, they'll both play eventually, probably tomorrow. So the Kevin Porter Jr. one is the most interesting one. When we talked about creating offense in the backcourt and defense, too, with the Andre Jackson Jr. conversation that we just had before the game, talking about the basketball fit for Kevin Porter Jr., Doc Rivers said, you know, we don't really know yet, but we know what he's done in his career. He's played great against us. He had a good game against us in L.A. with the Clippers. He's had big games against the Bucks in the past. He can be a really good defensive player. He has a big body. I think he can run the point position. The Clippers tell me he did that very well. He's shown he needs to improve his shooting, but we like his size, his athleticism, and the ability to run the floor. So, again, that's one of the themes we've heard at this trade deadline is younger legs and athleticism. That's what Jericho Sims is going to bring you, and that's what Kevin Porter Jr. is going to bring you as well.
Yeah, and I wouldn't put tomorrow either, Justin, as a must-win. Obviously, you want to win the game tomorrow. There's no doubt about it. Second leg of a back-to-back. Curious to see how this team responds to that. But, look, you got this one out of the way. This is a huge win. Huge win today. Takes a little bit of pressure off of you. You don't want to ease up. You obviously want to go in and beat Golden State tomorrow. I'm excited to see some of these new Buck players. Let's go. Get up and down the court. Have some fun. See what happens tomorrow. Obviously, you always want to get the win, but hey, you got one today. That's what matters.
7 o'clock tip tomorrow night. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins for the Bucks and the Golden State Warriors. Maybe we'll see all three of the new players that the Bucks brought in here at or around the trade deadline. But the Bucks get the win today. Look to keep it rolling tomorrow night. Again, 7 o'clock tip. Be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.